It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Across the nation, artificial intelligence has entered mental health care.
You may already know about therapy chatbots or scheduling assistants, but how is AI becoming a part of treatment and care?
We talked to two Wisconsin healthcare professionals about AI and mental health care, the benefits and the challenges.
Brian Kay is Chief Strategy Officer for Rogers Behavioral Health, a not-for-profit independent provider of specialized mental health and addiction treatment based in Oconomowoc, and Heather Hessel, a licensed therapist and an assistant professor in the Department of Counseling, Rehabilitation, and Human Services at UW-Stout. WPR's Lee Rayburn spoke to them last week.
Heather, before you had a career as a therapist, you had a career in information technology or IT, so you'd be the perfect person to ask when we're talking about artificial intelligence when it comes to healthcare. Take us under the hood a little bit and explain what this artificial intelligence actually is doing.
As I've been trying to get a handle on all of this, I've kind of settled on thinking of AI integration into therapy as part of a continuum. So there are three layers I think about with this, with some important distinctions for each of those layers. So first of all, you know, therapists already use technology. We've been using it for years to help with things like session notes or contact with insurance companies, that sort of thing. And of course, those need to be in secure and HIPAA compliant systems. And AI can help automate some of those tasks. So that first layer, I really think of as automation. Clients never see that, but it can be really helpful to therapists. The second layer, that next layer of integration, goes further. So it can continue to help with automation, but it actually extends support to therapists in other ways too. But there's a leap in the second layer that's really important ethically. So if therapists share the actual content of a session with an AI system, so that could be video, audio, it could be a transcription, then they can get even more advanced automation support, like it could write the note for them and they could review it and sign it and whatever. But for me, as an educator, I'm most interested in that layer because it can improve our work as therapists. So it can help us grow as therapists by providing feedback and ideas from an AI system. And then finally, there are these client-facing systems. So these are systems that provide direct support to a client. These are the ones the client would see. So they could be apps that a client launches. It could be a chatbot online, or even I'm learning about biometric markers that are captured through smart devices that could then alert the client or the therapist to a potential upcoming crisis. Sometimes a therapist might use one of those apps to augment what they're doing in session, such as, you know, providing parenting support or that kind of thing. But it's this third layer of integration that is really powerful, and if it works well, but there are some definite ethical considerations all along the way too. So I hope that makes sense as
certainly
I laid that out.
And certainly because of its power, it would need to be investigated further. So automation, support for therapists, and direct support for clients. Brian Kay at Rogers Behavioral Health, how are you integrating artificial intelligence there?
So at Rogers, we've got AI in a couple of different areas. Our most recent area has AI actually on our website to assist individuals who may not be comfortable on calling on the phone to do their first contact with the system. I want to be abundantly clear that AI is not replacing a clinician in any sense in this scenario, but it's a way of having a conversational and very compassionate conversation with the patient, of gathering some information so that we could bring a human in the loop and they're able to complete that screening when they're seeking care. We've partnered with a company out of England called Limbic to do this, and they have a wealth of evidence behind their algorithm. And what they actually found is in certain demographics, it increased people's ability to reach out to seek behavioral health treatment where they might not have been able to do otherwise. So that's been an important piece. And then in the clinical realm, we have AI employed in what they call ambient listening. So ambient listening, we've got two different pilots that are going on across our system, one with providers and the other with therapists, where they have a special phone app and the patient consents of being able to be recorded through their session. And similar to what Heather was saying, it helps generate a note based on the conversation. And then they're able to review the note, attest to the note, sign off the note, and then it integrates into our medical record. The feedback from our clinicians have actually been extremely positive. They find that it's a way that they could spend more time with our patients because they're not documenting robustly or a ton of time afterwards. It's capturing everything in the moment. And then from the patient side, it has our clinicians be a little bit more, I would say, directive in their conversation. So that's different pieces that the AI has to pick up on, and they feel like it's a bit more transparent in that sense. So AI has been a great enabler in that way. And then finally, we're applying AI algorithms in many different ways to understand different patterns in our patient data. The one thing we got to keep in mind, AI isn't very, very new. A lot of people associate AI right now with generative AI, such as ChatGPT.
Right.
But if you actually look at the underpinnings, it goes back to the 1950s with Alan Turing. So artificial intelligence has been applied to data sets to understand different patterns that humans may not be able to pick out. So we found different ways of understanding who may be at risk of potentially suicide, who would respond to different treatments differently by leveraging large different data sets so we could have more tailored interventions to people.
Yeah, Brian, Rogers had previously used an AI program to help predict the risk of suicide in adult inpatients. What did you find with that program?
So it was a fascinating collaboration that we had with Cerner. And, you know, what we found was some different factors that didn't typically come up in traditional means. So there were some different behavioral factors that we were able to identify. One of actually the largest factors was sleep disturbance. So when we applied AI on our data sets, that was one of the things that kept on popping up. So we actually changed our inpatient treatment programming to have more of a sleep module in there just because it was so highly correlated with it. We're continuing to find different ways of how do we leverage AI to tackle this problem. It's immensely complex.
Yeah.
And I foresee AI being a way to help integrate, again, to find those different patterns in data so we could have better interventions for patients.
I've heard the stories anecdotally, certainly, of the struggle to find access to mental health care in Wisconsin. And Brian, from your perspective, how can AI help aid people seeking mental health care in getting that care?
You are absolutely correct. You know, unfortunately, in Wisconsin, the latest I heard, the average wait time to see an outpatient provider for psychiatry is around 60 days. So when someone has behavioral health needs, you know, it's very, very difficult to get treatment. We at Rogers have been finding ways of expanding our continuum. We're actually all over the state at this point. So we're trying to help fulfill that need. But as I was mentioning earlier, AI, I think, could play a very vital role in terms of how do we get people access to treatment in different modalities that they didn't have before. The Limbic program is just providing one additional access point where people haven't had before. And I think, you know, for different providers across the state, we got to understand what the consumer needs are and how do we provide tools to them that they would be able to easily access treatment and get over that hump.
We're talking about AI in Wisconsin's mental health care space with Brian Kay, the Chief Strategy Officer for Rogers Behavioral Health, with a location in Oconomowoc, and Heather Hessel, a licensed therapist and assistant professor at UW-Stout. And Brian, should patients be concerned about their data and artificial intelligence? Can it be shared or sold? Is it secure?
Well, I will speak from the Rogers side of things. Everything is completely secure. So to what Heather was saying, there's an extraordinary amount of care that goes into working with patient data. And anybody who does work with that has to understand that every patient's story is within that data. So we take extraordinary protections to ensure that it's walled off within our system, ensuring that the data isn't leaving, going to outside providers or being sold in that sense. And then the other piece that we do is when AI is being utilized, we want the patient to know that that's the case. As we were speaking about Limbic on our system, it self-identifies that, hey, I am an assistant powered by artificial intelligence that's going to help out. So being able to show that this is how it's augmented in the process is extraordinarily important. And then anything from an algorithmic development that we have done, we have actually put through an institutional review board to ensure that ethics are considered through it, that privacy is considered through it, and that we have all the data protections and safeguards. One interesting aspect to touch on, AI is also going to be extremely crucial of protecting data. In the healthcare sector, there has been such an increase of cybersecurity attacks. The stat I believe I heard was close to 400% year over year. The ability to implement systems to help protect data that are based in AI is also going to be a crucial piece. So it's kind of an interesting catch-22. AI is going to protect data, but also we've got to be able to have the be the ones that build those safeguards so that the data is protected from AI.
Heather, there are a number of therapeutic chatbots where people can go online to talk to an AI program, and there's some life coaching available, counseling, even therapy. What's your position on therapeutic chatbots as they exist right now?
I definitely think that therapists need to be in the driver's seat. I believe there's a huge role for AI in helping to train therapists and in helping therapists grow. So I'm really focused in my work on that second level of integration. I don't think therapists will get replaced. I appreciate Brian saying that right up front. And I do think chatbots can present a level of risk that we need to be really careful and cautious about.
Brian, another research area of mental health that Rogers works with is in addiction, and you have some research underway now for assessing opioid addiction risk using artificial intelligence. Where do you see some of these opportunities for AI and addiction?
You know, again, it's the application of AI to understand different patterns within the data. Interestingly, that's some of my dissertation work that I did. So I'm very, very familiar with that algorithm. And, you know, what we found were some different patterns of how can we intervene at the end of treatment to inhibit readmission to higher levels of care. You know, you find these little signals in data that may not be very, very prominent, but AI is able to pick it up because it's so good at pattern recognition. So we're applying it in those different ways of ensuring that we could get people out to care and get them back to their lives and finding ways to safeguard them from coming back to treatment by getting the right interventions up front.
Heather Hessel, what are some of the unusual ways that we're seeing AI used in mental health care, and how are you seeing it applied in your classrooms?
I'm glad that you asked about the classrooms. We're just starting to integrate and see the power of AI in helping to train therapists. So for example, there are AI systems that will mimic clients. So maybe even with certain specifications like this type of client with this type of issue in this type of mood, so that students can actually practice role-playing with these clients. And that can, of course, improve their skills. It can improve their confidence before they even begin to work with live clients. I have a colleague of mine at another university who is experimenting with AI with her students and improving diagnosing. And I think we've heard a lot about the effectiveness of AI in diagnosing medical conditions. And certainly feedback from an AI system in the way that Brian was talking about and pattern recognition, et cetera, could be helpful in supervising student work and improving their skills as a supplement to the live supervision that they received. But I will say student reactions have not all been positive.
Really?
So I could talk about that too.
Yeah. What's the reaction been from students?
Well, it's across the board, as you might expect.
Sure.
But I know that there's some that have real hesitations about AI. What I hear is that, you know, they know it's here to stay. But the three, I would say, most significant concerns are about trust, which we talked about earlier. Can I trust?
Right.
I can't always trust AI to be accurate. And some of what we're dealing with, of course, are life and death issues. The second concern I hear from students are about underlying biases in the training models that are used. So we work as therapists really hard to identify our own implicit biases when we're working with clients who are very different than ourselves. And we wouldn't want our own biases to be reinforced by an AI system. And then the third concern I hear most often, which we haven't talked about yet, is students who say, I care about the environment and the significant environmental impact that running these large systems can have on climate change. And I find those all very valid concerns.
So, Brian, let me ask you, bias in algorithms and concerns that while professionals are trained to eliminate or minimize their bias, that sometimes because of the data sets that are using, bias may be inherent in the artificial intelligence. How do you guard against that, or can you?
I am so glad Heather brought that up because that is going to be one of the largest issues that come with AI in healthcare. And, you know, bias in data sets, there are some ways that you could go about it. You know, as I was mentioning earlier, we have really chosen to go down the route of evidence-based AI where it is published. So in the instance of Limbic, their articles are actually in Nature Medicine, the British Medical Journal, where they have outlined what the demographic composition is of the data sets, what goes into the data set. There's also some machine learning techniques that you could do to prevent biases, but it's always an important consideration. And the other piece that we do is we actually have an AI kind of committee within our hospital that's made up of multiple different individuals from different disciplines, as well as a couple individuals that are totally lay on AI, where they're not experts. And when we are onboarding a new system, we get those different viewpoints to ensure that we're looking at it from multiple different angles to ensure that we reduce those biases.
Heather Hassel, where do you see the nexus of mental health and artificial intelligence going over the next decade?
Oh my goodness. I can't believe you asked me that question. That's a huge question.
Yes.
In 10 years. I mean, think about 10 years ago. I don't know that we would have expected to be here. I do think, so incrementally, I am training my students to be familiar with AI. I think it will absolutely get integrated into our electronic health record systems. That's happening. I think we should be open to learning more about using AI to improve our work as therapists. Just as an aside, and I'm not sure many people know this, but once a therapist gets licensed, they're no longer technically under supervision. They will be meeting with their clients in individual private sessions. You don't have a performance review from a supervisor, as an example. And even though we have to do continuing education, there's still this question of, are we really improving ourselves as therapists? So maybe this is aspirational, but what I'd like to see over the next decade is a real push towards helping therapists become better therapists through the use of AI.
And Brian, where do you see AI leading mental health care in the future?
I think similarly to Heather, you're going to see AI more embedded into the medical record. The other thing that I would also hope to see is AI primers, you know, being more integrated into clinical schools. So in medical school, or as people are going to get their social work license, I don't think our clinicians will ever be experts per se in AI, but I think AI literacy is going to be crucial over the next 10 years since it's going to be prominent. If people have the ability to evaluate what is a good algorithm, what is not a good algorithm, how do we ensure that the algorithm doesn't have bias is going to be critically important. You're going to see people who are really gung-ho about AI, and you're going to see people who are nervous about it. So we've got to find ways of ensuring that we could provide care in a safe environment to all groups of people, you know, regardless of what their stance is with AI.
Brian, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always exciting to share some of the things we have going on.
And Heather, thanks to you.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Heather Hassel is a licensed marriage and family therapist and assistant professor in the Department of Counseling, Rehabilitation, and Human Services at UW-Stout. Brian Kay is the chief strategy officer for Rogers Behavioral Health. Rogers is a business sponsor of WPR. They spoke to Lee Rayburn last week about artificial intelligence and mental health care.